the University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce you to our panel for today. He is in the upper left corner of my screen 90% of the time. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
Good to see you, Dave. How is everything at the Chow House?
So far, so good. Busy.
Sounds like a takeout joint.
It could be for the right price. I mean, I do offer hourly rates, so I mean.
Dave, my family has noticed the advent, perhaps, of these LED lamps in your front window recently.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Mars is growing succulents, and they need just a little bit more sunlight than what they're getting now in this lovely Michigan gray. That's all. So as we call it, you know, it's kind of like the Grauman's Chinese Theater look right about now. That's
right. Right. It's just, you know, usually, especially after folks are retiring, that side of the street is relatively dark, but those lights she's using are quite bright. Very, very bright.
Yeah, and fortunately, they shut off at about 6:37-ish.
Got it.
But that's still a few hours of dark, and I'm sure my neighbors are going, why am I getting a tan from Dave's house?
It's awesome.
Are you implying retired people go to bed, like, early?
Hey, some unretired people go to bed early.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Beth.
8:30 is not all that early.
AM or PM?
I have been known to go up to bed at 7:30 and then I watch TV and I read and then I go to sleep.
There you go. That makes sense.
And I'm not retired.
I work the other 9 to 5.
I know that someone who is nodding vigorously is because I'm fairly certain of her rising a schedule as Professor Mara Livesey.
Oh, yes. So the youngest person on the panel, and you know, you guys are talking about going to bed at 8:39. I'm like, yeah,
that's about right.
That's great. That's what I do.
Well, I was like that when I was your age too. So clearly, yeah. You know, for some people, it's just sleep is the gift of the gods. I mean, you know.
Yes, it is.
Like a good 9 hours, 10 if you can get it.
In totally. 2 days.
I am definitely a 9 hour girl as often as possible.
Oh.
Heck yeah.
We were talking about taking the students to the San Diego March 2022 American Chemical Society meeting. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait for a poster session that it basically is 8 to 10 local time. And so, you know, to think that you're done doing work at midnight is something that my body already shudders about. So
horrifying.
Absolutely horrifying. I don't know how I do it. I mean, I drink a lot of caffeine, which is also not good for me. So, you know, there's no way to win, Mara. No way to win.
We'll pull through.
Yep.
9 hours. I am so jealous.
You know, we could all go live in Europe. That would probably help. But
yep.
Yeah, that would.
Professor Stephen Manning is here with us today. For a second, I did a double take, Stephen. Those blue blinds behind you almost look like shutters, like you were outside of a barn or something, but I think you're inside the house.
I'm inside the house today. Yes. It's little they're predicting snow showers later. So I'm,
they
inside,
are
definitely. Mm-hmm. The dog's outside, but I'm in. Dog loves this weather.
Yes. Best to just block it all out. That's what I say.
Right.
I don't know if you saw, Stephen, last week, I think, the Upper Peninsula got its first measurable snow. And they always go out there, the kids, and try to make a snowman out of it just to get a picture and say, hey, it was November 4th or something like that, you know.
It was a very stormy day. This day was a very stormy day 46 years ago. Anyone know what happened 46 years ago on this
day? Why does that ring a bell?
Yep.
No.
Big storm.
Oh, it was Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep. The wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
If you had just said Gordon Lightfoot,
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
My follow-up was going to be how many people died. All crew members died. I think there were 27. And who the year after this? So this was in 75. In 76, who wrote a song about this? And Beth got
there we go.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Yep. The big lake they call Gitchigumi.
We could always head down to Mariner's Church and ring the bell a couple dozen times, too, if you want.
That's right. I was just taking my students down to the instrument lab, and we went down, and it was windy, but the sun was out. And by the time we were coming back up, it was windy and it was raining. And I said, the Witch of November. I mean, come on. That's what we're dealing with here. Sorry for the gendered language, but the weather's a little fitful at this time of year in Michigan.
Did they get the reference?
They did not. They most definitely did not.
Of course. Yeah, I know.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Beth Oljar, who knows her Gordon Lightfoot.
I thought he's a great songwriter, actually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Modern ballads, right? I mean, let's be serious here.
Yeah.
And fellow Canadian.
So. Yep. Yep. 46 isn't too long ago.
I mean, Gordon Lightfoot and Jim Croce figured pretty significantly in my growing up years. So
nice. Nice.
So I'm old. Basically.
Older. More seasoned. Experienced.
Indeed.
I am playing a short song before every Friday morning recitation, and we did a little sort of goodbye to summer during September, and then we, you know, ramped up to Halloween in October, and I really didn't have anything for today, so I put on some Earth, Wind, and Fire, and one of the students said, so this is like from when you were growing up, and I'm like, actually, it's a little bit before that. Oh, but beautiful stuff, beautiful stuff.
Now, which Earth, Wind, and Fire did you play, though? Did you play, like...
I did it on purpose. I played September.
Of course.
Okay. Actually, because the love that we shared, you know, now that it's December, I said, look, rhyming the word September is really hard. It's really hard. We only have December and Remember to help us, you know?
Oh, I mean, there's also a Detroit component to it, so you're allowed.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, you're good. I just want to make sure you didn't play like Serpentine Fire, Boogie Wonderland or something like that and really, really throw the kids off. That's all.
Well, they know that I'm into funk now. There's no going back.
All right.
Just the degree to which their music knowledge and appreciation is apparently so impoverished just really kind of makes me feel sad, actually.
Yeah. I messaged them, Beth, ahead of time, and I said, what kind of song should I play this morning? I'm a little bit at a loss. And they said, play what makes you happy. And within 5 seconds, we were listening to September. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Hey, what, folks? This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. And if you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So here we are. It was bound to happen sooner or later. We have a big old stack of questions from Detroit Mercy students. Thanks primarily this time around to Professor Beth Oljar.
Wait, did you introduce Mara and Stephen?
I did.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yep. We're good.
It's been a week.
It's been a semester.
But you are getting old.
I really had a hell of a conditional proof that I had to do in class. And, you know, it was because I couldn't do it Wednesday. I was just flummoxed by it. So I had to go back to my office and do the freaking proof and then come in and do it today, just so the students would know that I could.
Right.
So cut me some slack.
I'm sending a lot of love and advisees your way for symbolic logic in the winter, by the way, Beth. So have fun.
Yeah, it's filling up fast. That's for sure.
That's awesome. It's awesome. Okay, folks, the students were given the instructions to write 10 questions on a topic. So we should be able to get through two or three of these in a show. And this is a good one. Student Ben Yacoub from Intro to Philosophy with Professor Beth Oljar. And his theme is modern computing. So let's see what we can do with these. What does the acronym LAN stand for?
LAN something network, right?
Close.
Access?
Not analog.
Access, analytical.
I think you're overthinking it, actually.
land area network? No?
I mean, you've got two of the bits now. So the final answer is it's the local area network.
Oh, local.
So like Detroit Mercy or something like that. That's the LAN. Yep. We used to talk about this a lot. I had one summer where I did some work in a industrial lab, and you can't share the data with anybody. And even if it was the nascent days of the internet, your LAN was blocked from every other network so that no one could take the data, things like that. we know that we're, I can't help myself. We know that works really great at Detroit Mercy. I'm like, I don't know. There's so many internet issues. It's just, you can't do anything around here. I feel bad. I know where IT is stretched very thin, but it's rough sometimes.
I always joked about if I were ever take up like rogue teaching, get the Black Winnebago and just circle the CCS campus and just tap the free Wi-Fi.
That's right.
It works.
It looks like we're doing the acronym thing a lot here.
Oh.
You know, we're doing it right now, by the way. Whenever we are making some sort of a voice call using the internet, that means we're engaging in VOIP. What's that?
Voice over internet.
Internet protocol?
Voice over internet protocol. You yep. got it. VOIP. It's pretty interesting when you think back to getting the new phones on campus, how they were all internet based instead of phone line based. And then right after that, the pandemic comes. It's actually kind of freaky when you think about it. Okay, we basically say stuff like this all the time. I bet we say this acronym at least once a week, if not more. What does HDMI stand for?
High
definition magnetic imaging.
Interface?
I don't like magnetic.
So I've got high definition M word interface. And once we get that, we're good to go. I'll give you a hint though. Remember that both audio and video can go through HDMI.
Media?
So it's media? It's how many media?
Multimedia.
It's multimedia. Yes.
Oh, okay.
High definition multimedia interface.
Gotcha. Sneaky.
We can go a little old school. I would hardly call this one modern, but do you remember what CPU stands for?
Central Processing Unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was a school up north. That's all. So. Oh, no, that's CMU. Okay, my bad. Okay, my bad.
The thing in Terminator that she crushes in the industrial press right at the end of at the end of the movie. And the little red light eye goes out.
Yep, exactly. This is great. This is definitely modern, as in basically less than 5 years in terms of consumer electronics. SSD. What's an SSD?
Is it signal strength something?
No. It's going to be in your tablet or in your laptop by now.
So like a card, some type of chip?
Getting close.
Solid state drive.
Nice.
Solid state drive. Yes, exactly. We no longer have spinning hard drives, right?
When you said it's in your laptop, I'm like, good clue.
Moving things.
I actually remember being in grad school and they said, you know, we're going to have a hard drive. They still called it back then, the size of a quarter. And it's just going to basically be two or three more powers of 10. And that's basically where we are now. If you ever have the luxury of cracking your laptop or tablet open. How about USB?
Universal
Service Bus?
Serial bus. Okay. I have to lay this one out there because I dropped it on my students this morning and I got a pretty good rise out of them. I think that my 13-year-old is pretty much fed up with the dad jokes and I don't come at him that much, but he's Mr. Eye Roll and, you know, disaffected teenager and all that. But he now is coming at me with like one-liners that are very well timed, and it's almost like he's honing his comedy skills.
What, is inner Henny Youngman or Rodney Dangerfield on you right about now?
Basically. So the first time I see him yesterday, he knows I'm going to say, hey, how was your day or whatever, but he jumps on it and he goes, hey, Dad, if the USA is so great, why do we have USB? And that was his opening line.
Oh my
God. I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Got him.
I like that one.
You guys gave birth to like Phil Silvers here. I mean,
I know. I'm sure that he found it online, but it still was really funny.
Well, the fact that he remembered it is pretty good.
What is ROM? What's ROM?
Random access memory.
That is RAM. So partial credit.
So random operating memory.
No. You can only do one thing to this memory.
Read?
It's read-only memory.
Oh, that's right. Read-only.
Read-only. Okay. I was going to say Royal Oak memory? Oh.
And, you know, we have a couple questions left here, but this one, I'm going to need to, I mean, I am sitting down, but I'm going to need to sit down to deliver it. put yourself in the mindset of an 18 or a 19 year old. Like, I'm putting trivia questions together. I wonder if they'll get this one. What does WWW stand for?
World Wide Web.
I just think it's funny because maybe if you're 18, you don't know what that means.
World War or something.
It's the interwebs.
Yeah.
World War We. That's what it stands for.
It's a singing wire.
It was a Brad Pitt movie. Come on.
Exactly. One more swift kick in the head. What year was the very first consumer Apple computer released?
80-something.
I was in school. So 85, 86?
That's not what it says here. It says it's a little bit earlier.
79. 75.
It says 76 here. Mara said 75. They say it's 76 here. So
really? Yeah, okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
That was probably when it was a small fortune and we probably never saw it. That's all. So
that's right. Very, very well done. We love the set of questions. Thanks for sending those in.
Thank you, Ben.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We've got another set of questions. I see Professor Oljar's Intro to Philosophy class mention, here are my 10 questions. The theme is Detroit Mercy trivia that I found, sent in by Louis Klinger.
Louis!
Thanks, Louis. I've never seen this one before. I don't know if I would even be able to guess, but we're going to mention Kendra for the first time. A week, even though we haven't seen her in 2 years.
What does she look like again?
Approximately how tall in feet is the clock tower? And he's letting me give you plus or minus 10.
Ooh.
47 feet, 3 inches.
Wow, no. I was going to guess something so different. I was going to guess like 200.
160.
And we'll let Beth have one and then we'll crown a winner.
150.
Okay, so it goes to Stephen, 175. Okay. Closest without going over, 175. Yep.
I don't know. Maybe I've never walked up that close to it. I've always kind of like, drive up, it's tall, hang a left.
It'll be less if it continues to crumble from the inside.
Also true. Yeah.
That picture they showed of the bricks in the inside crumbling. Yeah.
The Falcons are going to be pissed.
I have a funny story about that. When I first got here, the first winter I'm here, I drive to campus early in the morning. I park. I see smoke pouring out of the top of this. So I rush to my office and I call public safety and I say, I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but the tower is on fire. Of course, I did not know that the whole campus heating system is below it and all those tubes come from it. And when I said this, there was silence. And I said, is anyone there? Did you hear me? The tower is on fire. So I'm sure there's someone over there, some commandant or something, put a check mark by you. Your name again is what, Dr. Who? Put a check mark by my name. Don't take any calls from this number.
That is a great story, Stephen.
Although given my research to drive on campus and see that would have actually been quite disturbing. No smoke coming out of towers. No. Right?
Where do I pour the gasoline?
Father Herm's 100-year history book that maybe you've seen for the centennial of University of Detroit described it at the point of the centennial, so 1977, not too long ago. It was still, from its construction to 1977 at least, North America's tallest enclosed smokestack. It actually is a smokestack that leads to the boiler that they built the clock tower around, which is really, really interesting. Yeah. Nice. What is the name? I'm going to hold the joke back till we get this right. Do you know the name of the credit union that we have on campus?
Alliance.
It's Alliance. I was going to add the little spice of the poor, poor, poor credit union that kicked off its entire. I mean, it was March 11th, 2020 when they opened. And one day later, a global tragedy began. I feel so bad for them every time I walk by. It's really kind of sad.
I'm pretty sure they didn't cause it. but I know that
they were the victim of it. So.
How many acres is the McNichols campus? Great question.
5.
No.
13.
28.
The McNichols campus?
Just the McNichols campus.
Yeah, it's not that.
I don't know.
Is it even an acre?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you will be very surprised when you hear this number. That's mostly because we don't use acres much anymore.
No. Yeah, how many hectares are we going, Matt? I mean, geez.
Beth still gets a guess, though.
Come on, Beth.
3.
You know what?
What?
It's 75 acres. McNichols campus is 75 acres. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only way that I can approximate this is thinking of my mom and dad's property up in Port Huron. They have this frontage that's basically an acre and a half, and then 44 hidden acres of forest behind it. And I'm like, wow, 44 feels big.
Okay, well, but wait a second. There's a difference between land owned by the university and the amount of land that the McNichols campus actually sits on, right? I mean, the University of Washington owns half of downtown Seattle, but...
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But the actual, which is pretty big, right? The actual campus is not equivalent to the same amount of acreage.
Sure.
Okay, 75, that I'm suspicious, but I'll buy it.
You're skeptical. It could possibly be, now that I think about it, it could possibly be the total acreage of all.
That would make more sense.
Of our current campuses. What's kind of weird about that is if you think about law, it really is just like one building. So it's even not that, even half an
exactly,
acre.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And but then how big is the Novi campus?
That's a really good question.
Oh, oops. Maybe I shouldn't ask that.
Next trivia set, trivia of the Novi campus.
But there's no way if you walk from the entrance on McNichols all the way down to the end of the McNichols campus that's 75 acres. That can't be.
It seems too small.
We'll have to send our crack team to it.
We need Mythbusters here.
Yep, exactly. What year was it that old U of D was founded?
1877.
And just for old time's sake, do you remember what year it was when Father McNichols built the McNichols campus?
There's a big mural in Briggs.
1926?
I believe it might be right behind me in the image. We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the big move, which is kind of a big deal. They existed for a few years, obviously, downtown, about 60 years, and then they brought things back up here. I don't see it here, but I know that it's one of my favorite pieces of university trivia. They bought the Gorky Farm. They bought the farm from the Gorky family, and that's what they built the campus on. Yep.
You folks heard a couple of weeks back that Detroit's getting HPC now, right?
I heard through the grapevine, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's on our campus now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it'll be specifically toward making athletic shoes.
Hmm.
Because, okay. I mean, you would not believe how many of your shoes are actually made by CCS graduates. You know, I always really? Used to call it, you know, gym shoe U, actually. So, I mean, we have kids on, you know, Converse, Nike, Reebok, Asics, you name it. We've designed them. So
that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Cool. Interesting.
How many Division I NCAA sports teams are at Detroit Mercy?
Well, that's a good question.
Ooh, we've had this one before. I think it's
16.
I'm giving it to you, Stephen. It's 17. That's pretty solid.
Way to go.
If you're paying attention to the website, we have one more women's team than we do men's.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, Title IX works. Yep. These women are wanting it enforced. You know, it's a world gone mad.
Yes, it is. Last but most certainly not least, before we wrap things up here, approximately how many students, both full and part-time, attend Detroit Mercy? Graduate and undergraduate.
5,380.
Oh my gosh, that's so precise.
But wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say about 5,000.
I was going to say 4,700.
Mara said about 5,000. I'm giving it to you. We literally are about 13 shy of 5,000 for the 21-22 academic year. Yep. So there you go.
That's full and part-time.
Grad and undergrad.
Yep. Very well done, professors. I think you know what time it is. We have the list of imponderables. Name a favorite professional athlete from your youth.
Ooh, good. So I don't have to pick Aaron Rodgers then, huh? Paul Horning.
Oh, sure, sure.
Nadia Comaneci.
An inspiration.
Lanny McDonald.
I mean, I knew it was going to be hockey. It was just a matter of what direction it was coming from.
Okay, Matt, you're going to laugh. He used to play in the same hockey rink I grew up in, okay?
Really?
And before he got drafted, he actually gave my dad one of his sticks.
Ooh.
And it's still in the basement. As far as I know, it's in the rafters of my old house.
Dave, who did he get drafted by?
I think it was it Toronto? Yeah, Toronto. Okay. Yep.
That's a big deal.
Go see if you can find it and make some money and pay for your garage.
You ready for this? He's also in charge of the Hockey Hall of Fame now.
Really?
Well, then it probably would be worth money.
Mara.
Athletics is like not really my sphere of interest. So I was thinking probably I'd have to say Michelle Kwan.
Oh, sure.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely.
Chris Evert. She was big when I was learning how to play tennis, actually. So no doubt that's why I remember her.
Hmm.
So you're not going to believe this before I do my imponderable, but we just heard from our version of the voice of God. Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus has a total of 24 individual buildings sitting on 74.75 acres of land. That is straight off of Wikipedia. So it's got to be true.
That's just McNichols?
Just McNichols. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, an acre's, it's not as big as we think it is, you know? I mean,
well, I've been on a big, the University of Washington is a big campus, right?
It's okay.
UDM, you can get from anywhere to anywhere in 5 minutes, which
no, it's true.
Which you
it's
cannot true. Do at UW. I guarantee it, right? So there's no way. I'm sorry. I am just too skeptical.
I mean, I'm just trying to picture it. Is it 20 by 20? What's an acre?
Oh, you're giving it like a metric flair, Stephen. Like it's weird. I have no idea what an acre is, but it's like,
yeah.
It's 208.71 by 208.71 feet.
Okay.
So it's not too huge. Actually,
that makes me less skeptical.
I am not joking. I just Googled it and it said the traditional definition of an acre is a chain by a furlong. That is what it says. And boy, does this country need metric. Kill me now. That's all I got to say. And you know what? The time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Goodbye.
Mara.
See you later.
And Dave.
See ya.
Now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.